What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
This week on Hometown Ghost Stories, Westminster is a town nestled in the northern portion of Maryland. But don't let that silence fool you. The town itself has quite the history with ghosts. An old opera house where tragedy befell a performer whose grinning specter has now made the outside of the building his home. And Westminster also has the ghost of Lee Master, who many believe was the most wicked man to ever call the town home. Join us as we dive into the history, folklore, and hauntings of Westminster.
Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
From the Journal of Charles Lambert, September 17th, 1865. The wind howled through the trees as I trudged through the darkened woods, my shoulders aching beneath the weight of the long pole loaded with shad and herring. The farming had been rough that year, and I had taken up night fishing to make sure that my family could eat. It was a moonless night, the darkness thick and suffocating, swallowing every sound save for the rustling of leaves and the distant cry of an owl. I had heard the tales, the whispers of the ghost of Lee Master riding his pale gray horse. Tales that made the bravest men in town shiver with fear. But I paid them little heed, dismissing them as the idle chatter of superstitious minds. Yet, as I ventured deeper into the heart of the forest, a sense of unease crept over me, tightening its grip with each step. It was then that I saw it, a figure draped in white atop a horse with what appeared like burning eyes looming in the shadows of thickly settled trees. My heart hammered in my chest as the figure let out a mournful wail, the words, "Stick, stuck," echoing through the trees like a death cry. Panic seized me, every nerve in my body screaming for flight. Without a second thought, I turned and ran, the weight of the fish forgotten as terror propelled me forward. Branches clawed at my face, roots threatened to send me sprawling, but I paid them no mind. My only thought was escape. I burst through the clearing, my lungs burning with exertion, and caught sight of my home on the horizon. Relief flooded through me like a tidal wave as I stumbled toward the safety of its walls. "Open the door," I cried to my wife, my voice raw with fear. "For God's sake, open the door. Lee Master's ghost is after me." I could sense the ghostly presence drawing closer, its chilling whispers echoing in my ears. The weight of the pole burdened with fish dragged at my shoulders, threatening to pull me back into the clutches of the unknown. Just as my strength wavered, The door swung open before me. My wife stood in the doorway, her eyes wide with alarm, as she beheld my disheveled form. I gathered what little strength I had left and rushed inside, throwing the fish that I didn't lose on the way back to the house on the table and locking the door behind me. My wife screamed, "You're going to wake the kids. What has gotten into you?" I saw him, the ghost of Lee Masters. "He's real," I said in a hushed tone. I struggled to find the words to describe the encounter in the woods, the ghostly figure that haunted me with its ominous chant. The memory flickered in my mind like a candle in the storm, elusive and terrifying. And then, as if on cue, a faint whisper brushed against my ear, causing me to startle in fear and close my eyes. "Stick. Stuck," the raspy, faint voice said. Finally, as I opened my eyes, I saw my wife in a panic, kneeling over me. She began to help me to my feet when we heard something scratching at a nearby window pane. We both looked over and saw the black eyes of the ghost staring back at us as his bony finger tapped on the window. I'm Rob Coakley, and this is Hometown Ghost Stories, Westminster, Maryland. Westminster sits in the middle northern portion of Maryland. Founded in 1764 as the town of Winchester, the name was changed in 1768 to avoid confusion with Winchester, Virginia. One of Westminster's claims to fame is that it has one of the longest-running Memorial Day parades in the country, starting back in 1868. Although not known on a wide scale, the town also has its fair share of ghost stories. The Opera House that sits at 140 East Main Street in Westminster has a terrifying story attached to it. In the early 1870s, families flocked to the Opera House for a variety show on Saturday nights. A comedian by the name of Marshall Buell was performing in between sets to keep the crowd entertained before the next act. Eventually, Marshall began telling jokes about President Ulysses S. Grant that the crowd seemed to not find so funny. A rock was launched from the back of the theater to the stage, landing just short of Marshall. Shaking, he began to tell his next joke, but another rock came flying in, hitting the comedian on his neck and knocking him down. He fled from the stage. The crowd was in an uproar. The sheriff met him backstage to tell Marshall he would offer him protection by letting him stay the night in jail. Marshall's response was saying no thank you, and that he would ride to Hagerstown that night for a show he had coming up. Marshall wouldn't make it too far. He was ripped off his horse a short way down the road and slit from ear to ear by reports. No family claimed his body, and he would be buried in Westminster in an unmarked grave. Shortly after, the town drunk was sitting in an area behind the theater when he saw a grinning phantom. He described the ghostly figure as dancing one minute and mouthing wordless monologues while gesturing menacingly with its hands. The town laughed at the reports from the drunk at first. Shortly after, every Saturday night, multiple families would report encountering the phantom behind the theater. Another well-known story in the area of Westminster first was published in American Miller magazine in 1888. A reporter was interviewing a miller in the area when the miller suddenly wanted to abruptly end the conversation. When pressed as to why, the miller told the reporter the following story. "In August of 1840, my neighbor was found dead near the dam, laying on the ground next to his dead horse. No one knew what happened. A year later, in August of 1841, as the full moon shined down, I began to feel nervousness that I never felt before. Even my dog, who usually slept outside, refused to stay even on the porch. For the next 5 years, in August, this same experience was felt. Finally, on the sixth year, I looked out the window and towards the dam. The night was a perfect one, and the full moon hung overhead. While I was looking at the west side of the stream, I saw a moving object, which rapidly drew near. As it appeared, I beheld a sight which filled me with horror and held me motionless. Both horse and rider were as white as the morning mist, but their eyes seemed to flash, and in the man, I recognized my neighbor Jack, who was found dead 6 years before. They were chasing a ghostly fox who was running a zigzag course as though seeking to avoid capture. Just then, the fox leaped into the water, and horse and rider followed close upon him before all sank beneath the water. The miller, after telling his tale, offered to let the reporter stay the evening to see the ghost of Jack. Yet, he declined. The reporter, however, did interview several other families in the area who also claimed to see the eternal hunt that happens every August full moon. And then, there's the ghost stories of perhaps the most vile man to ever call Westminster home, Lee Master. Lee Master arrived in America from England after the death of his wife sometime in the 1760s. He had told friends back home that he was heading to America to become filthy rich, and his prediction would ring true. He quickly built iron furnaces and made a fortune by using slave labor. At what is now 501 Stone Chapel Road, he would build his brick mansion named Avondale. Lee was not only building houses and wealth upon arrival in Maryland, he also allegedly built a bad reputation amongst his neighbors. He was known for being overly cruel to his slaves, often beating them when they fell short of his expectations. When they would run away, he would take out ads in every newspaper near and far that he could offer a reward in order to get them back. Eventually, this cruelty would turn to murder. Lee was attracted to one of the slave girls that worked in his home. One night, he decided to act upon his urges. The girl would reject his advances, as she was set to marry another slave that worked in Lee's furnace, named Sam. This enraged Lee, and instead of taking it out on the girl, he went to the quarters of Sam. He had the other men from Sam's bunk grab him and drag him to the nearby furnace. Upon arrival, Lee grabbed Sam and threw him into the boiling hot furnace, watching the man melt until he was no more. Afterwards, Lee returned to the house and found the girl and cooked her alive in a stove, which he had bricked off after he was done. During renovations of Avondale in the 1930s, the oven was uncovered, and human remains were allegedly found left behind. Lee would die on March 22, 1796, at the age of 79, and the tales of his ghost would begin almost immediately. Lee was buried on the grounds of Avondale, but the ground rejected his body, and his bones over the course of the next few years would rise up to the top of the ground. Eventually, his body was moved to the Church of the Ascension burial ground, where they encased him in a concrete slab, which is rumored to have cracked not just once, but multiple times. Doors opening on their own, lights flickering, and the feeling of an ominous presence close by have been reported at Avondale, as well as other houses in the area. Even more alarming is when Lee is spotted in the woods patrolling the area of Furnace Hills. The sightings date back to the 1800s and were written about in the book History of Western Maryland, Volume 2, by Thomas Scharf in 1882. One written story from the book reads, quote, "One dark night, as a workman was returning home from a neighbor's house, he heard a rustling, hurried sound at the edge of the woods skirting the Furnace Hill, and in an instant, Lee Master rode past him, crying and begging for mercy upon his miserable soul. The terror-stricken man was rooted to the spot and stood trembling like a leaf, when suddenly, the vision appeared the second time, urging his horse to its utmost speed, while the rattling of chains and horrible groans were heard in the distance. A third time, the spirit of Lee Master appeared with agony on its face, and a third time, the noises were heard. Thus, night after night, strange sounds and scenes were witnessed in the Furnace Woods. Sometimes the spirit was followed by three little imps carrying lanterns and creeping stealthily along as in search of some object. Sometimes Lee Master would appear at one portion of the hill as if he was seeking to hide something, but always on a gray horse, emitting flames and smoke from his nostrils." End quote. The spirit of Lee Master is still believed to haunt the woods and homes of Westminster to this day, and many believe that he will forever. As it's said, he's searching for his lost soul, which will never be found.
Welcome into Hometown Ghost Stories, episode number 117, coming to you live on this beautiful Tuesday evening. Actually, it's a pretty miserable Tuesday evening where we are. It's rainy and cold and windy, and it's no bueno. I am Jesse Wilkins. I'm joined by Rob Coakley. Hello, Rob.
We need to have a discussion with town officials where if your name is Winchester and you're worried about sounding similar to Winchester, Virginia, when you're Winchester, Maryland, going to Westminster isn't much better. Like, making that change, it's too similar still. Like, you got to go way away from it if you're going to go away from it, or just stay the same, you psychos.
Yeah, it's not much of a change. We're also joined by Dave Wilkins. Hello, Dave.
Hey, what's going on? I have no problem with the name of this town.
I don't have a problem with the name of the town. It's just if you're going to change it from one, if you're going to change it because you're worried that it's going to sound like this town.
Is that why they changed it?
Yeah, that's literally the reason they changed it. So I'm, which is also crazy because how many towns are just the same? Like, we have like 30 Salems. I think there's a Springfield in 37 states. Like, it's just.
I know. And they all came from Europe. We just borrowed the names of all the towns over there because we wanted to come over here and be different, but just keep all the same names of towns.
Maybe we'll throw the name new in front of it.
Yeah, exactly. Big Boy Freddy says, "Rob looks like a cute tomato."
Yeah, Rob did his best.
Thick Boy is baby mama, excuse me.
Yeah. Rob did his best to dress exactly like Fred Durst on tonight's episode.
A red hat. Is no one allowed to wear a red hat anymore?
All of chat is calling him out, which is kind of funny because it's the first thing I said when I logged into StreamYard before we went live. It's like, oh, look, Fred Durst showed up.
Hello, fellow teenagers. All right, we got it all out of the way. Let's start talking about Westminster because we have so much to get to. Like you said, Jesse, we have all these stories that I covered in the episode. Plus, we have additional stories, added context on this one. A very small town with a ton of hauntings, so it's going to be fun to talk about. So we have three different stories here. Dave, if you want to kick off with the first two, I'll take that third one.
Sure. So the first one is the old jail, and this is the ghost story of the headless jailbird, and this is on 98 North Court Street. So the jail on Christmas Eve, 1844, was quite dismal. Families visited their incarcerated loved ones, bringing tears and arguments, all the visitors shied away from the corner cell where Big Tom Parks was held. Big Tom was no stranger to the jail, this being his fourth trip in as many months. Arrested for disturbing the peace, Big Tom put up a considerable struggle, and it took the sheriff and two deputies to restrain the large man. While the jail was built...
Real quick, I just like that this Big Tom is actually a Big Tom, because usually back in the day, if he was Big Tom, he was only probably 4'10", 90 pounds, right? So fact that Big Tom was actually big is very shocking. That is
Big shocking. Tom relative to the times.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, Big Dave?
If he's 4'10", I would tower over this man.
At least 3 inches. That's good. That's good. Well, I do wonder if Big Tom parked his big tow truck in the park. Gonna go ahead and edit that
out. If he did, that would make a killer Patreon name if he decides to join.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
While the jail was built well and considered safe, the sheriff worried that it could not hold Big Tom for any length of time.
This wasn't tall enough.
How well was it built?
How big was he?
Perhaps he should be sent to the Baltimore Penitentiary, the sheriff mused. Big Tom overheard the sheriff's conversation and became distraught. On Christmas Day, Big Tom took his own life, slitting his throat. The well-known Dr. Zollickhofer was summoned to the jail. Dr. Zollickhofer, we're going to call him Dr. Z moving forward if his name keeps popping up. Dr. Z was studying phrenology, which if you're not familiar with phrenology, that is the study of bumps on the head in comparison to character, which I think is even more confusing than just phrenology. What does that mean? He truly had a real find in Big Tom. He asked to take the head to do research.
Normal.
And permission was given. Tom was laid to rest without his head in a local cemetery while the doctor conducted his research elsewhere. Could it be Big Tom? Could it be Big? This is written weird. Could it be Big Tom many residents have seen wandering in the vicinity of the old jail? That was not weirdly written. I was reading it weirdly. Could it be Big Tom? All right. I'm going to slightly reword this because I hate it. Could it be Big Tom that many residents have seen wandering in the vicinity of the old jail? It's hard to know who the large headless man is that's been seen roaming the area with both arms outstretched in wonderment and pain. This is a unique ghost story and it's pretty creepy. And even the backstory is pretty good. But I feel like this reminds me of a couple of the ghost stories that we told from Fredericksburg, Texas, where they buried a guy without legs. And his ghost came back looking for his legs. This is a similar one, maybe a little scarier because he's got no head.
We eventually are going to be able to compile enough ghosts and create a super ghost.
Yeah, you got the head from this one, the feet from another one. Yeah. We have doll arms if we need to use those. Yeah,
we can throw the doll arms on Big Tom.
Big Tom with his doll arms and his Texas feet.
Hell yeah. I love it. It's the super ghost.
All right, let's get into the next one. Dave?
Sure. So City Hall and Main Court Hotel, the musical Barber, on the corner of Main and Court Street. At the corner of Main and Court Street stood the City Hotel. A garage stands there today. The grand structure housed a wonderful restaurant and unique barber shop. The barber, Jim Hopes, was a small, thin man, which is a nice contrast next to Big Tom.
Yeah. Very diverse ghost cast in Westminster. Yes.
Small Jim Hopes, a thin man whose impeccable appearance always included a crisp white smock. Hopes had dreams of being an entertainer and filled his shop with excerpts from classical dramas. Amidst the patrons' scissors, combs, and hair clippings, Hopes would transform himself into Macbeth, Hamlet, or Falstaff, and play the character throughout the day.
Bro, just cut my hair. Just finish my haircut.
Barbershops haven't changed at all. Huh? Like, you go there and I guess they've changed a little, but like you go there and everyone's doing everything except for cutting your hair at barbershops.
I was like, what barbershop are you going to where they're all dressing up as Shakespeare characters, though? That I haven't seen. Residents of Westminster were in agreement that Hopes, was a trifle odd, but he gave a good haircut for a fair price nonetheless. nonetheless. Jim Hope's business thrived until, scissors in hand and quoting Shakespeare, he died of a heart attack. His widow tried to run the business, but without Jim's talent with scissors and the now accustomed entertainment, she eventually had to close the shop. Talk amongst the old men in town was that, in passing, one could hear Jim quoting the bard, and if you looked carefully in the window of the old barber shop, you could catch a glimpse of Jim Hope's crisp white smock. So I like the theme that's going so far. We got Sweeney Todd here, right? Yeah. Demon barber Sweeney Todd. And before that, we had the Headless Horseman, Sleepy Hollow. We're just going through Johnny Depp movies.
All right.
So well, Rob's going to cover the ghost of George Young from Blow now.
And eventually we'll end up back talking about Jack the Ripper again. So it's perfect. We've come full circle here. But with this one, I do wonder, while he was performing that Shakespeare performance and died in the middle of the act, I wonder how long it took them to realize it.
As
part of the act. Like, I don't remember this from this Shakespeare story. You know, some guy trying to get his hair cut. He's like, dude, please get up and finish my haircut. Like, we get it. All right. The guy died in the Shakespeare play, but he's just actually dead.
So, which has happened to like comedians and stuff on stage. I don't know if you guys have ever seen any of those videos. It's terrifying because as you know what's happening, the audience doesn't. They think it's part of the act, and then it just becomes this whole tragedy. So I'm sure it was a gigantic shock to everybody that happened to. Have to be in there.
It makes it even more painful to watch when you see a clip, especially of comedians when it happens, because you see them collapse on stage and you hear the whole crowd just burst out and laugh. It just makes it so much worse. Everyone's like, ha, ha, this is great.
Yeah.
And then you realize, like, oh, wait, he's having a medical emergency. This is actually not so funny. So.
Yeah, not great. All right. So the other one we're going to cover before we dive into the stories that we talked about in the open is Cocky's Tavern, of course, with the decorating ghost at 216 East Main Street. J.E.B. Stewart. Why does he have so many initials? Let's talk about that just to start.
Call him Jeb. Is his name just not Jeb?
No, they have all periods in between the letters, but we're going to call him Jeb Stewart. Confederate cavalrymen set up headquarters at a residence on the Main Street in Westminster. As troops made their way towards the Pennsylvania line, it appears that one of Stewart's men may have stayed behind. The ghost of Cocky's Tavern is sometimes heard climbing the stairs at night, probably looking for some bacon, I would assume. When shouted at to stop, the loud boot steps promptly cease. He's been known to rattle the glasses and bottles in the bar when no one is around. Okay. When no one's around?
Yeah, how do you know that?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
I guess unless security footage is catching it, but that's...
When was this, though?
This is from the Civil War up until now. The ghost rail affinity seems to be with pictures. When a visitor from Baltimore joined a friend for lunch in 1981, she proclaimed, "I don't believe in ghosts." Just proclaimed it, just out of nowhere. Her friend was startled.
Worst kind of people at haunted locations.
Much to her dismay, a picture hanging on the wall behind her fell, striking her on the head. The hanging wire on the picture was not broken, nor was the glass. In response to the incident, the lady replied, "I believe! I believe!"
Quick turnaround. We like that.
Yeah. Another eerie connection with spirited pictures occurred when a waitress found a picture on the floor one morning, the glass unbroken and the hanging wire intact. The picture portrayed a school teacher lecturing her class. Upon inquiry, it was found that a prominent school teacher had died that morning. The woman once lived in this building. A well-known elderly lawyer, Mr. Walsh, ate at Cocky's Tavern every day. A table reserved for him for both lunch and dinner. One morning, as staff came in to open up, a picture of Grant that hung over the fireplace was found face down at Walsh's place. The wire was not broken, nor the glass. The place setting underneath wasn't chipped. It was learned that night that Mr. Walsh had passed away. The waitresses here love the ghost and treat him with respect. Late at night, they sometimes feel an eerie prickle as if something is about to happen. One night about midnight, as they were closing up, the waitresses went from room to room and put out all the candles. A few minutes later, they turned in the hall to leave, and looking back, the candles on the mantle were lit again.
Ooh.
So, very cool story at Cocky's Tavern. I do like the paintings and the pictures corresponding with people who spent a lot of time there, lived there, ate there every day. And on the day that they passed away, it's almost like they returned. So did they return and stay, or were they just passing through as they passed on to the other side is the question.
Well, the real question is here, does Rob, when you're there and you're feeling prickles at Cocky's, what are your thoughts? Is it haunted?
Am I feeling?
Part of the story was that someone was feeling prickles at Cocky's. I was like, all right.
Yeah. Haven't you ever felt prickles? It's better than them saying like goose pimples. I would have just X'd out of it. So those stories we just read are not from like a random website. Those are actually from the Westminster, Maryland government website. Mm-hmm. So they...
I love when these come from like .govs.
Yeah.
Official stuff, you know?
So that is from the .govs. Those are some of the other stories.
I like the candles relighting themselves, right? Because if you hear about candles that suddenly get blown out, right, you could say, oh, that could be a draft or a breeze. Maybe it's paranormal. But it's hard to explain when you snuff them out and then they light back up again. You see it happen sometimes, right? Like if you don't completely blow the candle out and it's still got that little red hot ember, like a little bit of breeze can actually reignite it. But if you blow out all the candles, I feel like the odds of them all reigniting is low.
Yeah, I would say that's
probably very low.
Yep. Not going to happen too often. So those are those stories. I think we should start diving into the ones we covered on the opening. And the first one I want to cover is actually the one that kind of was in the middle, the one that happened at the mill. And that was like the Eternal Hunt, where the miller... The story was written in the 1800s in American Miller magazine, which thank God I wasn't alive in the 1800s. If my entertainment was American Miller magazine, if that's what I had to look forward to every month, I mean, just no thanks.
I would have never drank a single one of those Miller magazines.
Yeah, but I mean, the newspaper is not like your... And it's a source of entertainment, right? You're scrolling through. It was how you'd scroll through Twitter back in the day to see what the current events are. It was
I think it was part of their entertainment. They had very little entertainment. I mean, most of these people just sat and looked out their window, just waiting for some shit to go down on the street. Like,
but this isn't a magazine. Yeah, this is
a newspaper, rather. Yeah,
this is a magazine. So, like for me, magazines were always like about entertainment.
True,
because you're reading about things you want to. I guess it does. It is about trade sometimes, but God. What can you be filling the pages of American Miller magazine with month after month? Right. But apparently one of them was a ghost story from this town in Maryland. And I have a few issues with the story itself, because it talks about the guy realizing that every August during a full moon, he started getting this certain feeling. And I feel like it'd be real tough to be like, oh, it's August, the full moon again. I feel like there might be something out there. And then after 6 years, you finally see the ghost, right? Like it just sounds very suspect to me.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare, features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Like, I understand that's like when the guy died or whatever during the full moon of August, but
it seems too random to be suspect. Like random, like where do you pick that out of? You know, it seems like too like out of thin air for it not to be just an authentic feeling that he noticed.
But would you remember how you felt the August before and then the August before that?
Maybe if I'm hanging out by a full moon in August and I'm like, I feel weird. I can't explain it. I'm going to bed. And then the following year, I'm like, oh, I feel weird. And you notice it's a full moon in August. Like, oh, that's weird. This happened to me last year. Maybe I wouldn't have noticed it if it didn't happen the same time during a full moon last year. And at that point, after the second time you notice it, you're absolutely going to notice it moving forward.
But that's just because you're born in August and you're just contemplating how old you're getting. So that's why.
Real sense of dread in August.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not even like a full moon the following year would land on the same day in August, right? It's always going to be on different days on different years. So it's just a weird, it's just oddly specific.
Yeah.
Like too weird to make up.
And so it almost like solves this death as well, because they were wondering how he died. And you see the ghost leap into the water with his horse after the fox that leaps into the water. And they found him by the riverbank dead earlier, like 6 years prior. So the other issue with this story from when I was researching it, and I couldn't find enough info. I only found like little snippets. So if anyone that listens to the show actually has more.
Andrew brings up a great point about entertainment in the 1800s. Says, are we talking about a lack of entertainment in the 1800s when you could drink absinthe while driving to the hardware store to buy cocaine gum and a rifle? Some of us get our entertainment in different ways.
That's true. So the other issue is there is a Native American legend of the Eternal Hunt, supposedly. I couldn't find much info on it, but it is of a hunter by horseback chasing a fox around, and the fox is supposed to represent some sort of devil, and they're eternally chasing this fox to prevent like evil from happening around the area. So I couldn't find a lot on it. I found like three sentences. I couldn't find much of the folklore on it. If anyone does know anything, please send some info about that.
So wait, is the fox like an embodiment of evil?
Correct.
But is that a thing?
Not that I could find too much of. I only found a few. That's why I'm saying, like, if anyone else knows more about this, about Native American culture and the Eternal Hunt, hometownghoststories@gmail.com. I'd love to read a little more about it.
Pumpasquatch has brought up the wild hunt in Norse mythology a couple times.
Yeah, and I also found one in Germany as well. Which is a little different as well. The Germany one was an eternal hunt where a man went into the woods to try to bring the animals back because the people were starving, and they would hear rifle shots and they would never see the hunter again. But every time they heard the rifle shots, the food would, the animals would come closer to the village. So there are different versions of the Eternal Hunt in different cultures. So I don't know if this was taken from that or if this is an actual ghost story, but supposedly the other problem with this entire story is if you're a reporter and you're offered to stay the night to see the ghost, you 100% say yes. Mm-hmm. You don't turn that down. You coward.
Yeah, you take that. We saw it last week. Stayed the night. Slept with a 12-year-old. Like, it was terrible, terrible decisions were made. But you know, like don't do that. But yeah, you're a journalist. You take that story, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You definitely take that. And then there's the Opera House ghost, which this poor comedian goes on stage, tries to tell some jokes. Jokes are so bad that they murder him for it. Like, what a
we've all been to like one of those comedy shows, right?
Have you seen Amy Schumer? Come on.
They took Kill Tony way too literally. Yeah. So they kill this comedian. And I actually, the twist of this ghost and this appearance is so different than other theater hauntings, because he doesn't haunt the inside of the building. He haunts the outside, the back portion of the building. And it's one of the most unsettling just documentations of a ghost that I've ever heard, where he's this grinning ghost from ear to ear, which his throat was slit ear to ear. And he doesn't speak. He's just mouthing words with a big grin and almost miming right? Like in very slow fashion.
Mm.
So you come upon this out in the rear of the opera house. And at first it was the town drunk that saw it. And everyone was like laughing at him. And then families would start going there on Saturday nights and seeing him out in the back. And we have reports of this from the 1800s on.
Okay, but all it takes is one person to say they saw something and then for people to start looking for it and seeing what they want to see.
Yeah, but you could say that about any ghost haunting, right? So, but I think if we want to lay credence to stories, if everybody's laughing at him for it, and then they start changing their tune on it, like, oh no shit, the Millers saw him and the Smiths saw him as well. And then people are like, okay, well, maybe there is something there. That becomes a little different.
How much of a slap in the face is it that the comedian was killed for not being funny and now everyone just laughs at his ghost while he's trying to be scary?
Well, if they were laughing at his ghost, from all the accounts that I read, they're scared to death of the grinning ghost.
Oh, they were laughing at the drunk guy for telling the story.
Yeah, they were laughing at the drunk guy. Okay.
I was going to say, that'd be too ironic.
Imagine seeing a ghost like that, with slit throat, trying to talk, but can't talk. It's grinning. Like one of the most terrifying images you could see. And everyone's like, oh, that guy's probably not very funny.
Yeah.
Good thing he can't talk, so we don't have to hear his jokes. You know, like still getting it after all this time being a ghost. That's such a terrifying image. And I guess it kind of depends on what kind of miming he's doing. Is he trying to climb a rope? Like it's a little goofy.
No, from the account, it's he's trying to tell a story almost with his hands. So it's not like he's climbing a rope. It's like he's, I would assume, my thought went to almost like conducting an orchestra, right? Like those hand movements. And you get this grinning ghost just slowly just trying to do stuff like that. And it just sounds super terrifying, especially if you're coming around the corner like of a building and he's just standing there by the door of the opera house and you're just like, because at first you're like, oh, is this part of the show? And then you understand that it is not part of the show, and your town people should probably have all been arrested for murdering this comedian on the road.
Yeah,
fair.
There was another one we covered, I think, I don't remember where it was. It might've been New Zealand, but there was a haunted, I don't think it was opera house. It was a theater. If those things are different, but one of the performers, she performed and she was booed and she was so disgusted that she was booed that she went and killed herself. This feels like almost like a one-up of that where this ghost, he not only was booed, but he was killed by the audience booing him.
Yeah.
They hated him so much.
Yeah. And much like that one, that particular ghost didn't haunt just the theater. I know she haunted the theater as well, but she was haunting the buildings around. So another unique haunting where he's not in the theater itself, but on the backside. Just very unique, very different. So
and they're just leaving him outside. They don't want his bad jokes anywhere near the stage still.
He's like, I'll scare everybody, but I will not get more rocks thrown at me. And who's bringing rocks into a theater? Right?
People with the intent of throwing them.
Yeah. Right. Like they were looking for somebody to be bad.
I wonder if it was a premeditated thing where like, oh, if he does this Ulysses joke, you know, he's getting the rocks. So make sure he brings something to throw. Maybe that was just comedy shows at the time. Maybe you're like, hey, don't forget rocks. Casey sucks, you know?
I mean, I'm glad we switched to tomatoes, I guess, at some point. I'd rather get hit with a tomato than a rock. It looks like it actually does look like I got hit with a tomato.
Yeah, I was about to say, it looks like you've been pelted by tomatoes all night.
But it's fine. And that leads us to maybe...
Rob doesn't care whether it's a tomato or a rock. He just wants you to give him something to break.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other songs right now.
Did it all for the Nookie.
Yeah, that's the one, right?
That's the go-to, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, take a look around.
Let's go start a riot.
All right, all together now. Let's get into the next story. So probably the most well-known story in Westminster is the story of Lee Master, right? And Lee Master, by all accounts, was a terrible man. And he's so terrible, he's written about in the history of Western Maryland from 1882. I actually threw a link to this in the Discord to the book so that you could look it up. The book is available online to just read the pages from. So that is in our Discord in the resources portion. And it goes into how he was a hated man during his lifetime. And there's multiple reasons why he was a hated man when he was alive. First and foremost, he treated people like shit, right? Supposedly he treated all his neighbors like shit. He definitely treated his slaves like shit, which is, you know, a whole nother level of just disgusting human being and everything. And not only that, he came from England at a later age in life. Like, he was already in his 50s, I believe, when he moved from England looking to get rich in America. And he did it at a particularly poor time. So he did it right around the American Revolution. So he came from England. A few years later, the American Revolution happens. And a lot of people thought that he was a British loyalist because he came from England and lived over there, and his family still lived there. His children still lived there. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So he was probably already between a rock and a hard place with that whole situation. And people thought that he was sending money back to the crown. And England also thought that he was an American loyalist. So he was having issues with England as well. So
he had no friends.
So he had no friends. And he was a dick.
He's a piece of shit. Like, no one wants to be a friend anyways. So in England, they're like, no, we don't want him back. He's probably an American loyalist. And in America, like, oh, we don't really want him. He's an English loyalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's an asshole. And he was having a lot of land disputes with his neighbors as well. So by the time he dies, we start hearing a lot of rumors about him, starting with what he did to his slave, Sam. And there's multiple variations of this story. And this story does hit the history of Western Maryland. It doesn't go into the full account where Lee was attracted to one of his slaves and she was set to marry Sam. That seems to have gotten added later. And the whole she got cooked in a stove and bricked up in the wall.
Right. But where would that, like, in what circumstance would that story ever have been documented, and by who? Like, the slaves weren't documenting stuff like that. He definitely wasn't going to document that.
Right.
So.
Right. So it's word of mouth, and there's different reasons for the Sam thing. The other one, it's tough for me to verify. I looked everywhere for some sort of newspaper article of them uncovering the stove in the 1930s. I dug deep for it. I couldn't find anything. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We have certain newspapers that don't archive well. Some archive all the way back to the 1700s. So, I mean, for example, I was finding stuff from him posting about runaway slaves in the 1700s. But our local newspaper here, the Enterprise, is still cataloging their stuff from the 1940s, right? So, like, you can't always find what you're looking for. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means that I can't find anything. Or somebody took it upon themselves to extend the story and make it have a little more pizzazz to it when it doesn't need it. Because if you read in the 1882 one, he supposedly does throw Sam into the furnace because he was upset with his production more so than anything else.
Either way, if he actually threw him into the furnace, then he's terrible.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was like, oh, he wasn't productive. Well, that makes sense. No.
Yeah. So these are those are some of the accounts of what he did for Sam. So when he dies, the story starts to get really creepy because they bury him at Avondale, which is the home he built in Westminster. And the legend is his bones kept rising up out of the ground and they would find him just like strewn about.
That's such a cool story. Because like he was a huge piece of shit. Even the worms were like, not on this land, motherfucker. Get these bitch-ass racist bones out of here, bro. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Those are ghost worms from Patreon.
Yeah. They will unite.
And so they finally take him and they bury him at Ascension Church graveyard. And
so they took the bones that were ascending and they put it at Ascension Church?
Yeah. They're going to...
That was your plan?
That was the plan. And they put him in the coffin that I showed, like the marble or concrete coffin. And it kept cracking multiple times. And you can actually see pictures of it throughout time where it cracked at least once. It looks like twice because it looks like two different stones. And they've recently replaced it again, so it looks brand new.
Now, for the people who are listening, this is like a, when you say a coffin, this was, you're talking about more of like a stone sarcophagus that was sitting above the ground, right?
Right.
So they could see it cracking. But those things crack all the time. There's a few up in Burial Hill in Plymouth that have those kind of raised sarcophagus things, and they're always cracked because they don't hold up against weather.
But this temperature one changes. Because, this is different though. This one cracked because he was a piece of shit.
True.
But multiple times too throughout the years. So they actually replace this one. I think the ones at like Burial Hill and stuff, they don't replace, or not that I know. Maybe occasionally they do. But yeah, so there's those stories of his actual physical remains doing stuff. And then, again, he doesn't just haunt his former home, Avondale, or anything. He covers all of Forest Hills, Furnace Hills, sorry, not Forest Hills. Thinking of J. Cole albums right now. He covers Furnace Hills, and his ghost is roaming the forest on horseback most of the time. And people have seen him on top of hills. And this dates back to the 1880s.
It's pretty scary haunting. I mean, you got like he's like riding a horse, right? And it sounds like his soul is like begging, like, please help me cross over.
Sounds like, if you're going to classify the ghost, sounds like a revenant, right? One that comes out of the grave.
That's a good call. Definitely sounds like a revenant. And then we have people throughout history that were also helping the legend grow, is what I will say. Mm-hmm. So there was a guy by the name of Ben Biggs. Old Ben Biggs used to tell a queer story, and this is from the History of Western Maryland, Volume 2. Used to tell a queer story about his wrapping himself up in a white sheet and going through the woods at night crying stick stuck, which scared a great many timid people and secured for him an unsavory reputation. He was a great wag. One poor fella.
I was just about to say, wag he seems.
I have a list of great wags that I've been writing down, and I was like, oh, let me add this other big guy. Why is everyone big in this story?
Gotta add Ben Biggs to the great wag list.
Ben Big, great wag.
One poor fellow, a little superstitious, in going through a woods from a neighbor's house.
Not on the wag list.
He's not superstitious, but he is a little stitious.
Going through a woods from a neighbor's house with a long pole balanced over his shoulders and hung full of shad and herring, ran against Master's ghost, and hearing his voice shouting stick stuck, was so frightened at the strange apparition that he took to his heels and dropped all his fish on the ground in his rapid flight, bellowing to his old woman as he came in sight of the house, for God's sake to open the door, as Lee Master's ghost was after him. So that's kind of where I got the inspiration from, the opening story, and took that. But so you have people, it shows you how far back this legend goes. We have Ben Biggs just being a complete dickhead. A great wag. Just being an absolute wag. And just going around scaring people again, the 1880s. I guess you either dressed up as a ghost or you read American Miller magazine.
Yeah, that was the two things you did. Dress up as a ghost and you're wagging off in all the bushes and scaring all the locals.
Yeah. Got to stop wagging off, is what we say.
Yeah.
So that helps perpetuate it. But if you read this, I don't want to read the whole thing to everybody, but if you go and read this, it talks about how father to son would pass along the legend of Lee Master, and how he just had this cold look in his eye, this evilness about him. And I think that helped perpetuate some of the haunting stories. But if people have been seeing his ghost for the whole time, I wouldn't put it past the ghost to actually exist.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that.
Right. I mean, you got to take into account that you might have some wag who's faking these haunts, and that kind of that sucks, because if it is a real haunt, then it's like, this is one of those situations where how long has, you know, Ben Biggs been doing these big pranks, you know?
So, or we got an Inception situation where the ghost isn't actually Lee Master. It's Ben Biggs still dressing up as the ghost of Lee Master and haunting people.
So they Wagception. Yeah.
He was a great wag in life.
You had brought this up a couple of weeks ago with the Elvis thing. Like, how many Elvis ghost sightings were just Elvis impersonators that had died?
Right. Yeah.
And I can't stop thinking about that. I'm like, it's so possible. There's so many Elvis impersonators that could have died and they could be haunting, looking like Elvis. And people are like, oh, I saw the ghost of Elvis. Like, no, you saw the,
ghost of Fred.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fred Big, who impersonated just the whole Big family, just the lineage, just impersonates people and becomes ghost of those people. It's a curse. The next curse possession is actually the Big family.
I'm with it.
Yes.
I wonder if Big Tom Parks was a part of this from earlier.
Big Tom.
Big Tom. Too big for the jail.
Mm-hmm. Too tall. Got to transfer.
What else?
So I think that this town as a whole, although it's like this really small town, not many people have covered the hauntings, if any at all. Like, it's got such a fascinating history of hauntings and folklore. And I love finding towns like this, right? Where I didn't know a Westminster, Maryland existed. And I start looking to the hauntings and I'm like, wow, they really have this diverse set of hauntings. Some of them terrifying, some of them just real more interesting, like the Great Hunt being a little bit more of an interesting one. Lee Master being terrifying, the Grinning Ghost, which is what's going to stick with me from this episode. Yeah. Lee Master, terrifying. The thought of a grinning ghost, because I just can't get that image out of my head. And I might even start looking into, like, finding more grinning ghosts throughout,
you know, I will say, for audio listeners, you missed out because AI absolutely crushed it on this one with the generated creepy smiling ghost images. Absolutely horrifying. And they knocked it out with the horse images too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's learning.
Well done.
Is what we will say. So Westminster, very haunted town. I would definitely want to check this town out. This would be a fun. I guess Avondale would be a great, it used to be a bed and breakfast. I can't find any info on it now about being a bed and breakfast still. But I would love to go investigate Avondale. So if you are the owner, operator of Avondale, reach out to us, because I think it would be very cool to do an investigation there and see if we could find anything. But the whole downtown area, right? Like, just the whole downtown of Westminster has hauntings galore. We can go see if we can find the ghost of the Shakespearean barber. We can go try to find Big Tom's head. That great wag, you know.
Yep, that great wag. No, this town really is packed with interesting and unique hauntings.
Yeah, so I would definitely love to go check it out. It's not super far from us. It's about a 5.5-6 hour drive, so we would be able to do that. But if we're ever passing through, definitely a town I would at least stop in. And this is going to be kind of a recurring theme for me over the next couple episodes that I cover. I went to Spokane, which is a bigger city, like bigger than Westminster. But I also went to Wallace, Idaho, which I'm going to cover as well. And that very much reminds me of something like this, where it's this small town, but the hauntings are very cool.
I look forward to it.
Yes.
Well, this was good. Nice job.
Thank you. Well, that's gonna do it for Westminster. Do we want to get into some 5-star reviews?
I think we do.
We do.
All right. So the first one is from JB2319, titled 5 stars. So they are letting us know. Not only did they give us 5 stars, they titled it 5 stars.
I like it.
And they wrote, has me laughing out loud at work. Engaging storytelling, and although all three have great voices to set the spooky tone, I got to say, I think Rob's is the best.
Oh, dude, will you stop writing these yourself? There's no way anyone thinks that.
That's a new game that Rob plays all week, is how many accounts can I create to leave a review that says nice things about myself?
Well, interesting you guys say that, because the next line is, no, Jesse, this is not a Rob Burner account.
Sounds like something Rob would say from his Burner account.
Which is what I was going to say, which is, sounds exactly like something a Rob Burner account would say. So, JB, you did not do a good job covering your tracks there. Can't wait to hear more. Great stuff, guys.
All right.
And this one's a little bit different.
I do like how all of our listeners are balkanizing into Team Dave and Team Rob.
We will battle shortly.
Yeah. I don't know if that means I'm universally hated or universally liked, but I'm going to hope that it's universally liked.
This one is from Witchy Woman 27, titled Absolutely Addicted. I started listening to the podcast sometime late last year, and I was immediately hooked. I've always been interested in the paranormal, but was never a big fan of podcasts until I found you guys. I was going through a lot of personal issues, and I started listening to you guys as an escape, and now I listen every chance I get. I lost my job last year after being diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disorder and had to pull my daughter out of public school due to her mental health issues. So now we homeschool during the week, and she DoorDashes with me on the weekends. We listen to y'all the whole time we're in the car. She's 10, but she absolutely loves the show as much as I do. We love the stories and the banter between the three of you guys, and I enjoy the creative names that all the Patreon members come up with in every show. We're finally caught up on all the episodes, and I'm on the edge of my seat just waiting for the next show. Thank you guys for doing what you do. Your show helped me through a tough time when my mental health was not at its best, and I sincerely appreciate every bit of it. Well, thank you for finding us. Thank you for listening. I'm glad we can help and give you
appreciate
some
appreciate that review. Thank you.
Yes. We sincerely appreciate you listening to the show. It's awesome.
I'm glad that people are bonding with their family over the show too. That's fun. Mm-hmm.
That's good. That is good. That's the goal. We have a few Spotify comments on the last episode from Cackers. Says, loved it, guys. You have fun, but it doesn't take away from the story like a lot of others that I've heard. A big fan. Much love from The Rock, Australia. XX.
Cool.
Thank you. Awesome. Then Horror Hack 13 says, great episode. Love the show. The perfect blend of spooky and irrelevant humor. I don't know if that's is that a shot at us or is that an actual compliment? But hey, great episode. Love the show.
Irrelevant Dave Wilkins.
And then, you're going to see on the next round of t-shirts, Hometown Ghost Stories, irrelevant humor.
I don't know what it means, but I like it. Yeah. And then the legendary Lily says the lobotomobile and guillotine machine. And then Green Fairy says 5 stars, but not for Rob because he can't pronounce my screen name and won't fight me with pool noodles at Plymouth Rock. Why you dodge me, Rob?
Oh, shit.
What? When was this challenge issued?
I don't know, but I like it. That's the second time I've seen people talk about pool noodles in chat today.
So. Yeah, the guillotine machine was we were trying to get suggestions on what we should call the traveling guillotine from the French Revolution.
Oh, the guillotine machine. Yeah, I guess that would work. Good. Yeah, that's good. Cool. Love so it. Appreciate that. We're trying to pump up the Spotify reviews and comments. So if you're an Apple Podcast listener, if you have Spotify, or if you have time, just swing on over there. I think you got to follow and listen to an episode on Spotify before you can leave a review. But do that, because why not? And so listen to your next episode on Spotify and drop us a review if you don't mind. But that would be amazing. We just surpassed 300,000 streams on Spotify.
Ooh.
I don't know. The Spotify stats, they confuse me. I don't really know what any of them actually means.
We don't know what we're doing, if you guys don't know. We just,
we've been bluffing for a long time. Yeah. So
put a show out.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are going to be in a couple months. We are going to be at the Pennhurst Paracon, which is in May. So if you are looking for a chance to hang out with us or meet us, come to the Pennhurst Paracon. If you're near Pennsylvania, it's going to be a blast. We were there last year. There's a ton of people. So come chill.
Joey B says, watch out, Joe Rogan. Creeping up on that 300,000 Spotify streams.
Things I didn't mean to read out live. Okay, let's thank our VIPs real quick. For Patreon, we have Dave D, Kate and Steve M, Blazora, Glitter Tees, Cammy from Washington, Kelly C, Jennifer P, Dakota G, Nick, Donnie N, Inspires Gaming, Allison V, Robert H, Anna C, J9, Mallory K, Demon King, Mom and Pops W, Lisa J, and Mike Blake. Those are our VIPs. Thank you so much for being VIPs. Did we dedicate this episode?
Oh, we didn't.
All right, we'll do that next week. So it's even more special. Yeah, so we don't want to just throw it out there for no reason, but we will add you into the credits and everything like we normally do. So for the Warren's Words, starting with Rachel G, Too Many Rachel B's, Lacey, Nefarious Chad Poles, Wahini Pirate, I Hate Rob, Julie Gooley, Eugene M, Arcade Hunters, Siobhan Not Sharon, Kath Q, Liz Young, DC, Chris Connolly, LBPS Founder, Next, HTGS Guest, The Other, Rachel B, Sarah Cook, Stitch Kitten, Ambie Rose, Janice G, Lily, Rachel B, Rob's left-handed dog hands with man blood on them. Sydney is no longer the favorite fan Bowman.
Whoa, we didn't say that.
Whoa, I didn't say that.
This is your name. You're still our favorite, even if you've done this to your Patreon name. We have Papa Squatch. We have stopped throwing tomatoes at Rob's head. LOL, Steph A. I've been practicing this one, and I'm not going to get it right. It's right. Hookah Naka Laka. Haka naka hika laka hookah naka faka.
And nailed it. Yep.
That's a Key and Peele reference.
It is a Key and Peele reference. I read that. I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but then I watched the skit. We have which one are we in here? Ghost Pirate Mafia. We have Chris, Miss Macabre, Rub a Dub. Dub, Benjamin Franklin in a Tub, Michelle, Nikoru, Cold Warrior, the infinite short list of places to visit, like that. I should stop changing my username. My other subscriptions are getting freaked out. T from H-Town, Mitsa Us, Sarah B, Dominica, Queen Chan's Revenge, Angel prefers Jesse than Rob, Monster Mom 04, Shannon K, Allie Dark Snark, I Hate Rob 2, Electric Boogaloo, now fuck? With more I Hate Rob action.
Oh shit, is that a different I Hate Rob?
That's I Hate Rob too. Yeah. Number two. Megan S, yeah. Morgan S, no. The Haunted Microwave Full of Frogs. Sharon V, Wayne C, Six Slicks Hicks Nick, Six Slick Bricks with Picks. Thank you, Nancy. We have Crystal Quinn, Team Rob, in parentheses, I guess. Aaron A, Mina H, Colby, the unnamed serial killer, still at large. Like that. Rob Coakley's allegedly poorly ketchup jizz bukkakied French fry party.
I'm going to change that one.
Alicia E, Thick Boy.
So glad 10-year-olds listen to us.
Thick Boy Freddy did it all for the nookie. The nookie. Come on, so you can take that cookie and stick it up your, yeah. Swanee, not a Rob Burner account, 5 stars. Sam from the Paul, Joe R, Paul from St. Louis, Al Capone, I should be in every episode. You damn right, Al Capone. Thanks for the update from the grave. Huggy Bear, yes, Rob, you told the gas station V6 story. Soldier Fair, Mariah M, Kirley J, Anthony, lefties are wrong, grow up and use your right hand. T, Cody G, Brandon W, Hooper the Hellhound, Soph in Simsala Bim Bim Basla Du Saladim.
Pretty much nailed that one too.
Conjured a demon in Latin, I think that is what happened there. So thank you so much for being on Patreon. Ad-free episodes, early access, bonus content, Patreon pre-show hangouts, and VIPs can get an episode dedicated to you unless Rob forgets.
I also like that the Patreon names is just people starting to have conversations with us.
I know. From week to week.
That is amazing. I still haven't gotten over the development that that your Patreon name changes throughout whatever patrons, like whatever other pages you also support. So it just makes you seem like an absolute psychopath. I love that. So
Angel Os says, as always, it's funny how Jesse confidently gets my name wrong every single week.
I used to check with Dave to confirm that I was getting it right, and I got it wrong again. What did I say?
I don't know. I think you say Os, and it's more of an Os.
Os.
Meta Os. Okay.
All right. We'll have more fun with that. I'll get it wrong either way next time. So thank you guys for tuning in.
Funny how incompatible the Danish language is with the English language.
Yes, it's funny how incompatible I am with every other language as I still try to learn and to make no progress. Anyways, that will do it for this week. We'll be back on next week with a live Haunted Headlines. Is that the plan?
Yeah, and I think I owe the people the frog suit and Macho Man glasses. So
hell yeah.
This Friday is Dark Mysteries.
Oh.
Next Friday.
So this Friday, Dark Mysteries, I'm just going to tell the people, probably the hardest I've laughed in months when we were recording that episode. So I would strongly suggest check out that Dark Mysteries episode.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, Dave, you did get the pronunciation of that perfectly right. So, yes. I'm just going to point to you when it's time to pronounce her name and you can get it right. Because I was confidently getting it wrong. I thought I had it right for weeks. And now she just dropped in here and let us know. But hey, it's good to have you in the live chat. Thank you all for hanging out in live chat. We'll be back next time with another live episode. So, make sure you guys tune in and we will see you then. Thank you so much. Goodbye.